Welcome to We Are the Watchers.
This is episode 402, top of the day to you, Steph.
Hello. Sorry, I took a mouthful right as you started.
Classic us, am I right?
Classic us.
We're always being classics.
Yeah.
Oh. We've been talking about it. It's going to happen because it has happened. Thursday Murder Club review.
Yes.
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 And do you know what I enjoyed?
Yeah.
That they actually...
Well, no, I don't. Tell me.
They actually did it properly and it came out on a Thursday.
I didn't register
that.
So good.
So good. I mean, it was low-hanging fruit, but if they hadn't have done it, I would have been absolutely livid.
Yeah. They just did well. Oh, fun.
So the quiz is going to be the actors, about the actors in the Thursday Murder Club, okay, with a little bit of a twist, and the twist is something that we usually do. Ha, 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 ha. You've also watched other things, am I right or am I right?
I have watched other things. I've watched a limited series, a drama, and a doco.
Oh, my word. I've watched a movie. So we've definitely got some stuff to recommend, but we can't do any of that.
We cannot.
Not allowed to do any of that until we have a look at the
news.
Become a watcher on Facebook. Facebook.com/WeAreTheWatchers.
D23 2025.
I don't know what that means.
It's when Disney does all their showcasing, like, this is what's coming out. Toy Story 5, we saw some opening scenes, a lot of Buzz Lightyear stuff, and Conan O'Brien is a potty training toy. He is the voice of, I should say.
And isn't it, or have I been, like, interneted, is the villain in Toy Story 5 a tablet?
I think so because, okay, sorry, I got a bit confused because I was scrolling the article and then I saw the toy that Conan O'Brien is playing and I was like, it's kind of a tablet, but it's more like a Fisher and Paykel thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry. I got really confused then. I like that he's willing to play ridiculous things. Can I just keep scrolling?
Yeah.
Is it okay? Have a look at some other things. Mandalorian and Grogu. There was a clip from that film, which will be out May next year, I think mid to late May. And it looked a little bit like Din Djarin maybe acting a bit Darth Vader-y.
Oof.
So that's a bit confusing. Got to find out more about that. If you are a Avengers Doomsday fan, cool. There was stuff about things that crashed and Paul Rudd was talking about it from the set.
Can I, on your Disney track?
Yeah.
Can I just tell you what is available on Disney this month?
Oh, yes, please.
A must watch Disney Plus. Would you like the dates or just the names of things?
I think the dates.
Okay. So September 3rd, Lilo and Stitch 2025 is being released.
Can't believe it's it's May, isn't it, 2025? We're in May? No, you're saying we're in September.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Like, ridiculous.
Crazy.
But anyway.
September 9th, season 5 of Only Murders in the Building is being released, a 3-episode premiere.
Renee Zellweger. That's the Renee Zellweger one.
That's right.
Yep.
September 17th, season 2 premiere of High Potential. Mm. That's a show that I really enjoyed. Mm-hmm. There's other ones, Swiped, Chad Powders. Now, these are not necessarily new releases, but things that are coming out. September 1st, which has actually already happened, so welcome to the past. Suits, all 9 seasons, all episodes being released on
Disney. Isn't
that
funny? When I think about the beginning of Netflix, at least here in Australia.
Suits.
They come and go.
Here's another one, all 6 seasons, all episodes of Superstore.
Superstore.
Mm-hmm.
Was that on... That might have been on Amazon.
I think that was on Amazon.
Yeah.
That was like the bazinging.
That was the bazinging.
The Twisted Tale of Amanda Knox is coming out. Do you remember her?
Something happened in Italy.
In Italy. A murder. And she was up for it.
And then she had to go back to face the courts.
I'm interested in that because I feel like we've already done docos about it.
Yes, I think so.
What are they going to present that's new to us, or is this a
you reckon you're not bothered
drama versus a documentary?
Okay.
Anyway, lots of things. Disney are very busy this September, and so will you be if you watch everything they've got.
One more thing quickly to look forward to next year is Zootopia 2 that will be out in late November 2025.
Oh, I liked that first movie.
Sort of around Thanksgiving. I think Thanksgiving is that the 25th? No, it's a thing like it's the last Thursday or something.
It's like Easter. It changes every year.
Yeah, okay. Well, this is the 26th of November to look forward to. Oh, sorry, this year. I'm talking about this year. What am I saying? This year. So in the lead up to Christmas, you can watch your crappy Hallmark Christmas movies, but then one day out of that year, you'll have to take the kids to the movies. You all right with that?
Yeah.
Okay. No worries. Millie Alcock, she is an Aussie actress. She's been in a lot of things. She was in the House of the Dragon.
Mm-hmm.
And I think she was in something you watched recently.
Yeah.
I can't remember what it was, but you liked it.
Can't remember either.
Okay.
Well, it was fabulous.
Yeah. No, you wouldn't have watched Supergirl. I'm just trying to think of things that she would have. Okay. Anyway, she's going to be in a dark comedy called Thumb. It's about a woman, that's her, who mistakenly receives a severed thumb in the mail.
Ew.
She makes it her life obsession to return it to the hand it once belonged to, putting her on a collision course that will upend her world forever. That's the synopsis on Deadline. I don't know. There's something about that that makes me think that's really funny. Oh, I forgot to talk about, we were talking about Disney, but I want to talk about that Star Wars Starfighter film that they've been talking about. You know the one, Ryan Gosling?
Yeah.
Can I throw a couple of other names in your direction?
Mm-hmm.
I think we knew about Matt Smith, but Amy Adams.
Oh, nice.
You know what I mean? Like all of a sudden you're like, yes, I'm interested. And then you're like, oh, I am more interested now.
Now I might actually watch
You'll
that.
Watch it. You watch it for sure. Probably just on Disney though, I reckon. Or should I force you to go to the movies?
Will you buy me popcorn and a frozen Coke? And maybe a choc top.
You're right. You will be once you get all of those things.
I actually will be. That's why I asked.
Okay, we are nowhere near being able to enjoy any of that, so I'm a bit scared as to how expensive all of that will be by the 28th of May, 2027.
Whew.
That is like that. That kind of date is the equivalent of a video game release. They're like, and now, ladies and gentlemen, get ready for the new installment of Aloy's Horizon, whatever it's going to be, in 2036. And you're like, which PlayStation will that be on? The PlayStation 12?
I'll start saving.
You might actually have another Concerned Ape game by then.
I'll buy it for my grandchild.
Too good. All right. We've had enough of the news. It's time to get into the watching suggestions.
Got a watching suggestion? Email thewatcherspodcast@gmail.com.
Okay, you've watched a couple of things.
Yep.
But I want to talk about the Thursday Murder Club first.
Yeah, me too.
Okay, just quietly.
No, loudly. Do it loudly.
Just loudly enough so that it's audible.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was a series.
Me too.
I thought it was a limited series, probably six episodes where they tell the whole first book.
Mm.
It was a movie. I mean, I wasn't upset. I was just surprised.
I wasn't upset, but they did change some of the story.
I wanted to talk to you about this.
They clearly changed some of the story to speed up the storyline and the arcs a little bit more. So bits were taken out. There were some characters missing who were sort of fundamental characters. I think they could have done a series.
I think they could have.
Put all those twists and turns in there.
They also really wanted Helen Mirren to be the main character, which she isn't in the book.
Don't you think so?
The narrator.
Well, yeah, I know.
Okay, so I listened to the Audible.
Okay.
Right? I listened to the audiobook on Audible. And it's not Elizabeth.
It's Joyce.
It's Joyce the whole time. And you have bits of her writing in her diary that are so, like, not related to anything that's going on.
But hilarious.
So funny. So
funny.
Do you
know what's really
funny?
She's
a bit of a, like, a... If I could go to Kath and Kim, she's a bit of a hornbag. Like she has massive crushes on people.
Yeah, she does.
And you missed all of that. She was just
a
newcomer who used to be a nurse. That was all she was.
And I had forgotten she was a newcomer. I really had forgotten. But it's funny because I haven't listened to the books. I've read all the books. And even though there are other chapters that are Joyce's diary entries, I always saw Elizabeth as the main character. And so I guess it was these dual main characters that gave you more of an insight. And it was Joyce's storytelling, you're right, that it told was. You she more, was, yeah. more because the reason why I think it was Elizabeth's story is because Elizabeth.
She drives it.
She drives it. Spoiler alert, she was part of MI6. So she drives it. She's got the knowledge. She's got the insider connections, all of that. Whereas Joyce is just bumbling along. But she makes a lot of discoveries because she is bumbling along.
Yeah, she bumbles. So I wonder if you're thinking, what is the Thursday Murder Club? And they're at this kind of old person's home. Like, it's very swanky. It's like a proper manor. And they all have they all sort of have apartments. In my mind, in the book, it was nowhere near that swanky.
No, it wasn't that fancy. I mean, it was lovely, but it wasn't.
Not like it is in the movie.
An old manor.
But they.
It's like a over 60s retirement.
That's it.
So you're not needing care, but you're all.
You're having a company. You've got the company of others. And instead of joining clubs where they're doing aqua aerobics or, I don't know, painting or whatever.
Jigsaw
puzzles. They are solving cold case murders.
And they do it on a Thursday because that's the day that the jigsaw room is free. Right. So they meet on a Thursday.
Put up the old photographs of dead bodies. Mm. And try and solve some murders.
Some cold cases. And that's what they're successful.
So funny.
But what does happen amongst the cold case is one of the owners of Cooper's Chase Retirement Village is murdered. And then the second owner is murdered on the grounds. So we have /3 murders to solve now.
A brilliantly horrible David Tennant.
Wasn't he the best casting ever? As soon as his first scene, as soon as I saw his face, I went, brilliant.
Yeah, that's him.
Absolutely brilliant.
That's him. There were some really great bits with him against the crowd because people were protesting about him, you know, wanting to change it or like, no, not knock down a cemetery. Well, you can't really knock it down. It's already underground. But you know what I'm saying. Dig it all up.
Destroy it.
Destroy it.
Build over the top of it.
Yeah. And the way he acts to people booing him and stuff, really funny. Pierce Brosnan was a way more heartthrob than
version of Ron. Me too.
Ron doesn't look like that
Ron
at all in my mind.
Ron wore like a West Ham jersey in my head most of the time.
In my mind, he just wore like a Kathmandu zip-up fleece that he got secondhand at Vinnie's.
With jeans and some joggers.
Sometimes he wore trousers that were kind of like the early 90s trousers. You know how they were kind of gathered?
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean. And he was a bit, I imagine him to be a bit more pudgy.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, Pierce Brosnan did grow out his hair to be of a certain age male hairdo.
Yes.
And it was towards the end of the movie that I went, yeah, that is perfect. Do you know who was perfect?
Who?
Ibrahim.
Wasn't he? Mm-hmm. Couldn't have had a better person for that character. Yeah. Really
I will good. Say one thing that made me sad.
Bogdan?
Yeah, he didn't fit.
That's not him.
No, it's not him. However, the one thing that made me sad was made me think it might be one and only.
Yeah, it looks like they put a lot into this.
Whereas I thought if you'd done a series, you could definitely keep it going. Mm-hmm. But I don't know that it has the oomph to do multiple movies.
So the young constable, I was like, I've seen her before. But you know sometimes when you're like, I've seen her before and then you look up somebody on IMDb and you're like, I've never seen any of these things. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I had seen her in one. She was a love interest in Mickey 17, which is the one with Robert Pattinson. Mm. So I'm glad that like I had some validation for I've seen your face before.
Yes.
Yeah.
But if I can make you happy about everything, the fifth book in the series is coming out very, very soon.
Oh, so soon. You really want to review it, but you don't have a copy.
I haven't read it yet.
Okay, what else have you watched? Because you're kind of ahead of me.
So I watched a documentary on Netflix that was called, it's called Unknown Number, The High School Catfish, which by the title, you'd probably be like, eh, nah, I'm not going to watch that.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, God.
And I really only clicked on it because I heard somebody say, this is the wildest documentary they have ever seen. And I completely concur in that it is wild.
It sounds American.
Oh, it's absolutely American. So it's in Michigan in 2020, I think it starts with. And I'll tell you the background. I'm not going to give anything away, but the background's going to sound really boring.
Oh, sorry.
But I want you to watch it.
Monday was International Ginger Cat Appreciation Day.
Stop it.
It is here.
Oh, Ginger
he's
Cat
gone.
Appreciation just Day. Had a little of course, it's gone.
Off. Sorry, 2020.
Yeah, so this, when I tell you what it's about, you're going to be like, boring, don't care, not going to watch it. If I can tell you that when you find out, please don't Google it. Don't Google it because okay. You'll find out who it is. But when you watch it, and you find out who's behind it, your jaw will hit the ground and you'll be like, what the actual? So back in 2020, there's a Michigan in a really small town. The school is like preschool to year 12. I don't know how many kids there are, but there's pretty much essentially one class per grade. So everybody knows everybody. A young couple, and I'm saying they're probably 13 or 14 years old at this stage. They have started dating. They met when they were 12 and they were coined the golden couple. They were both really good at sports. The girl didn't really get involved in the girly sort of bitchy scene, but the boy was a heartthrob. But and everyone was like, oh my goodness, like I can't believe they're all together. But, you know, a year later, they're still together. These two kids, and I'm going to call them kids because they are kids, they start getting threatening text messages from an unknown number. And the first one is, you know, he doesn't like you anymore. He's going to dump you. He's going to go to this party and you're not going to the party and, you know, you're awful, that kind of thing. And then it stopped for almost a year. It stopped. And then it all of a sudden just started again. These messages just started. And they, over the space of months, they increased in the number of text messages that they were getting. It was mainly directed at the girl, but he would get them as well. And at the height of it, there were sometimes 40 to 50 text messages a day. And
so someone who isn't busy.
Someone who knows everything that's going on, because there would be references to conversations that had happened and it was happening all day long. And they were just becoming vicious and disgusting, truly, truly revolting things being said to kids that you could, you know, argue that it's verging on sexual assault in terms of what's being said to these kids who are 14, 15 years old. It goes through who was accused of it, how the school and the parents and the parents of other kids and sporting teams and all of that, how they tried to catch this person. The FBI eventually got involved, and it will rock your world when you find out who it was and the aftermath of it.
Oh my God.
It is wild. It's a wild
ride. At least you get an answer, because as you were telling me that, do you remember I watched that Tegan and Sarah documentary where they had like a catfisher, but they never found out who it was?
It's awful.
Were they? Oh, no. Yeah. And the catfisher was pretending to be Tegan and was like messaging people, like fans. At least you get an answer.
This one was good because, you know, I said on the documentary not that long ago, when it's always about someone who's passed away and there is that gaping big hole.
Yeah, you're
of
like,
that
well, they're not there.
Yeah, that they're going to be the person that happens. Everybody who was involved is interviewed and part of the documentary.
And even the catfisher?
Yes. And I think that's what makes it even more of a wild revelation, because that person's voice has been heard, and then you get to hear all of them discussing life after it and the aftermath.
Wow.
Which is a really interesting spin, because quite often documentaries kind of go,
yeah, they stop it at the bit where like they've got a conclusion.
Yeah.
Mm. Wow. What was it called again?
It's called Unknown Number, the case of the high school catfish or something like that. I really would like a follow-up documentary in maybe about 20, 30 years.
Oh,
just
okay.
Just to see. Well, I'm a bit worried about these teenagers, quite frankly, and what they've lived through.
A little bit like 7 Up. Yes. But not every 7 years.
I don't need every 7 years. And I only need two of them. I only need to check on two of them.
Okay,
the rest of them, whatever.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I watched a movie. Why aren't you applauding
me? Dun, dun, dun.
Come on. I was so good at it. I went on to HBO and I was like, all right, let me have a look at some of the things that what they've got here and see if any of it looks good to me. And there was one that I thought looked quite interesting because of the cast, and it was called Mountainhead. It's from this year. And let me just give you a couple of names. You all right with that?
Hmm.
Steve Carell, Jason Schwartzman. So you're like, ah, okay. All right then. Rami Youssef, you're like, yes, I've seen him in stuff. He's in
Hang on, tell me about it. I feel like I've heard this.
Corey Michael Smith as well. And I was like, where have I seen you before? And I'd seen him in, like a World War II thing recently. Oh, my gosh, I can't remember what it is. But they're three billionaires.
Yep.
And one only has 500 million. So he's like the tryhard of the group. That's Jason Schwartzman. And they all go up to Jason's new place that he's just had renovated.
And one's a tech guy.
Yes. Yep. And he's just started this, this app that shows you videos of things that never happened. So it's like all AI.
Mm-hmm.
And then people around the world are losing their shit because they're watching stuff and they're like, oh my God, this mayor has been assassinated. And he's like, don't worry, they haven't really been assassinated. And then you're like, well, did they watch this, get panicked and then ride in the street and then did kill him? Like that kind of stuff. And Rami plays Jeff, who is, I think he's the richest or the second richest out of them. And he has created an AI, and Venice wants him to give him the AI to make his new horrendous app better.
Oh, no.
Not better for everyone, just work more.
Yeah.
And he doesn't want to. And they're all quite horrible to each other, but that's part of, like, their joke. Like, they're joking around. They say really bad things and they'll be like, ha-ha, just joking, that's just broke. They've got a special term for it. Anyway, the stock market starts to collapse. Problems are happening all over the world because of this app.
Oh, no.
And they start thinking, oh, no.
We're going to lose everything.
So what will we do? Let's let actual countries crumble and then the four of us will take over those countries.
Oh, my goodness.
And then we'll be in charge of them. And then one of the guys is like, I think that's a really good idea. And they're like, we should kill you.
Is this a comedy?
It's a black comedy. Okay. It's absolutely insane. It just gets more and more bizarre as the movie goes on. These characters just flip around just being absolutely crazy. Steve Carell is, you find out the very first moment you see him, that he has got cancer but refuses to believe that it can't be treated.
Okay.
So he's kind of coming from whatever that angle is. You've got the guy who's got a lot of pressure on him, who's just released this app that's working horrendously badly in the most successful kind of way. You've got the guy who desperately wants to be a billionaire because the rest of his friends
are. He's only halfway there.
And the other guy who has got this thing that everybody wants but isn't sure if he wants to give it to them.
Oh my
whilst
goodness.
Also being a bit horrible. It's just bizarre. It's a really bizarre. It acts like it could be a play.
Yes. Cool. I like that style.
Yeah, it was really interesting. I quite enjoyed it because it was right up what you would imagine Jason Schwartzman would be in. And it's right up what you are now I now think of
Steve Carell.
Yeah. He does different stuff, you know? Like it's a bit different.
He's very capable.
Very capable. Mm. Yeah, so it's on HBO. Have a watch of it. I watched it on a weekend, maybe a Saturday night or something. It was worth it. One go. Watch it in one go.
Cool.
I watched a movie in one go. All right, what's your final watch?
I watched a series called Hostage on Netflix. And
was it so good that it held you hostage?
It did actually. Hey. I didn't watch it in one go, but that's because it's a series.
There you go.
So I watched it in at least two episodes.
That's good.
Evening,
that's good.
I would think.
I'd think that you'd be right.
Yeah. It is about Saran Jones, who you would know from many, many things. She plays Abigail Dalton, who is the, I don't know know if she's actually new, but new-ish PM for the UK.
Okay.
So she's in Downing Street with her husband and her daughter and has made some quite radical decisions which haven't gone so well. And so the UK is almost in crisis point in that they are unable to secure any medication in the UK.
Okay.
So she's working really hard to foster relations with the French Prime Minister, or President, sorry. The French President is played by Julie Delphi, who we all know. So she plays Vivienne Toussaint, and they don't get along very well.
Is it real sort of French and English?
Very much so.
Cool.
With this interesting take, I don't feel we've seen a lot of, where their decisions and the possible relationships, good relationships with them, are also tainted by the fact that both of them want to be re-elected and to maintain some sort of a good face in their own countries, but their countries don't want the two countries to work together.
Okay.
But the UK really needs medication in the French. So anyway, there are background tensions happening.
Okay. While, there's history.
Yeah. While all of this is happening, the English PM's husband, who is a doctor, he's with what the equivalent is like Doctors Without Borders, where they go into sort of, you know, third world type areas and give medical aid. He's out there somewhere, and he and three other doctors that he's with get taken hostage. And the whole idea behind this hostage situation is to bring Abigail Dalton, the PM, to make her quit, and then they will release her husband and the doctors. So they're forcing her hand.
There you go.
I don't want to say any more, but it has lots of different turns that you don't expect that are going to happen. So if I told you that kind of premise, you'd be like, okay, so the husband's been kidnapped for the whole show, and then by the end we'll figure out if he's saved or not. There are so many kind of chapters into this, so that one hostage situation then becomes another hostage situation, and it's this really interesting narrative of, can you be held hostage by your position and the decisions that you have to make for your country or for the lives of human beings without physically being held hostage by a person? Do you know what I mean? It's that sort of interesting ideas behind it that are woven through, and it's got a lot of action in there.
Okay, cool.
That people will enjoy. It's, I think, maybe only 6 episodes.
Did you say Netflix?
Netflix.
Okay.
And UK dramas are always amazing.
Yeah, let's just put it out there. Yeah, you just know. You know already.
It's good.
Yeah. Hostage. Okay, that's a good one. 4 cool things to watch. Bit different. All, no, they don't all have murders, do they? No. Just the Thursday Murder Club. Hostages.
Yeah, I mean,
and maybe, and maybe people being murdered on a mountain. We don't.
Well, people in the street.
Yeah.
Nobody's.
Yeah. And that mayor that they said, okay. I want to now get back to the Thursday Murder Club, because we're going to do a quiz. Wonder what I called this quiz.
The Thursday Murder Club quiz?
Very, very close.
On Friday we shall quiz.
Thursday Murder Club cast previous stuff.
Quiz. That's a mouthful, Leah.
Okay. Thursday Murder Club cast.
Resume.
Okay. Yeah, that's good. Yeah. That's good. I'm going to read the synopsis of something, and you've got to tell me which of the famous big ones we're in.
Oh, my goodness. I'm going to be terrible
at this.
Do you want to
give me your phone.
Okay.
Let me just go onto IMDb and just give you the cast, okay?
She knows my passcode. There's no privacy here.
I think it's really funny that Chloe calls them your phone number. What's your phone number? It's interesting seeing what other people, you know, we probably search on IMDb more than most people.
Reckon?
Yeah, I reckon.
Do you know what I really, and I've said this before, what I really enjoy about the Amazon Prime app? is that
yes.
if you have it open while you're casting, it will say in this scene and it lists all the people.
Agreed.
Oh, isn't that the best?
So good.
So clever.
Okay. So that's just the cast.
You know, I probably
could have found
that.
So you can't see what
that.
They – yeah, but it was fun doing it for you.
I really enjoyed it because I don't think I would have gotten it in this format. Okay. So
the life of the lawyer who became the famed leader of the Indian revolts against the British rule through his philosophy and nonviolent protest.
Ben Kingsley.
Would you have a guess what that movie would have been called? Nonviolent philosophy.
Dalai Lama.
India.
Oh. No, don't know.
Gandhi.
Yeah. I was thinking of a different title altogether, like that person, but a completely different title.
Yep. Bubble accidentally sends most of Eddie's clients' details to rival Claudia Bing, who poaches including Twiggy, who is annoyed because Eddie's mother has been stalking her, confusing her with Madonna. Eddie sacks Bubble, but ends up back in business thanks to Katie Grin's unlikely intervention. That's the one that Bubble, like Jane Horrocks, played for a bit. It was really weird. Meanwhile, Safi encourages Eddie to attend the Menopausal Anonymous with Patsy, who has been diagnosed with osteoporosis. Of course, Eddie is rude and disruptive. After the meeting, Safi has a weird dream in which Patsy announces that she's pregnant from Mick Jagger's sperm, which she bought from an auction. Which... actress.
Like, as in the very first
who
sentence.
Who is Claudia Bing?
You went on such a tangent.
I was like, I've just got to read the rest of it because out,
oh God, so hilarious.
Out of context,
yeah.
Trying to explain an absolutely fabulous episode.
I thought you were going to go to the PRPR
Persons of the Month
Lunch Club and Claudia Bing wins. Okay. It's Celia Imrie.
That's right. Barbie and Ken are having the time of their lives in seemingly perfect world of Barbie land. However, when they get a chance to go to the outside world, they soon discover the joys and perils of living among regular humans. Now, this one's a difficult one.
Yeah.
This is the narrator of the movie.
Of
the Barbie movie.
Oh, golly moly.
Mm-hmm. I was having a scroll.
Oh, my gosh.
And I was like, this, I didn't even...
register that there was a narrator. Is it Helen?
Mm.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Do you know that what I've written here? Barbie Helen.
Yeah.
Barbie Helen.
I mean,
yeah.
I would have bought that Barbie. Helen Mirren Barbie.
Oh, yeah. Why haven't they got one? Donna is an independent hotelier and is preparing for her daughter's wedding with the help of her two old friends.
There's only four characters in the murder club. Keep going.
Meanwhile, Sophie, the spirited bride, has a plan. She invites three men from her mother's past in hopes of meeting her real father.
That's Pierce Brosnan.
Mm-hmm.
Is he the real father?
Can't remember.
Or is it Colin Firth?
Who's the third bloke?
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know.
Baba Mia, Pierce Brosnan. Yep. Okay. After a bitter divorce, an actor disguises himself as a female housekeeper to spend time with the children held in custody by his former wife.
It sounds like Mrs. Doubtfire.
It is.
Why is that in there?
Because I'm tricking you.
Oh.
Pierce is in it. He's the boyfriend. I was like, I'm going to do two Pierces back
Pierce Brosnan.
To back. Yes, right here. Final one. Doctor Who.
David Tennant.
Yeah. Like, is an alien Time Lord? Okay. Yeah. Well done.
He was also in Broadchurch.
And he was in Good Omens.
Yeah.
He played Crowley. He was the devil. It's been a lot of stuff. Look, I loved all of that. You got all of those, you know.
Yeah.
On that note, Stephanie, ankle about in March.
Bring on book 5 of Thurston
Murder
Club.
Yes.